Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. It may be one of my favorite sentences in all of Scripture. This man who comes to Jesus with his boy who has this unclean spirit, a spirit that is torturing the boy, he brings him to Jesus, and Jesus is talking to him, and the man has said, Jesus, if you could do something, help us. And Jesus says, if I can, blessed are those who believe. And then the father immediately cries out, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And I love that sentence because I resonate so much with it. It's this mixture of faith and unfaith. It's not like so much a mixture. It's like they're both there in tension. It's not really about trying to figure out the percentages. How much is faith? How much is unbelief? It's not like the back of a package of food, you know, where you got the list of ingredients, you know, in the order, right, of how much is in there. It's not like, is faith listed first or unfaith? It's really that they're side by side. And that's the tension I often feel. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking that a few of you might have had that tension before. I believe, help my unbelief. And it's that a sense of I believe in Jesus, but there's plenty of unbelief to go along with that. The Holy Spirit has placed faith in my heart, but until eternity, unbelief is never completely dislodged. So I've loved this passage. I love this man's honesty. And like I said, it reflects my experience. But that's not the odds and ends in this passage, the odds and ends theme. The odd thing is at the end of this passage, if you want to look at it in your bulletins. It's those last two sentences. Jesus has healed the boy, and then he withdraws into a house, and the disciples go with him. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? And Jesus said to them, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. I called that the odd and the odds and ends thing because it's just such an odd statement. This thing, this kind, cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. I mean, it seems strange. I wouldn't have thought that the disciples were there trying to cast out a demon without praying to God. And again, it's the nine disciples because Peter, James, and John have been up on the mountain where Jesus was transfigured and showed them his glory. They're coming down off the mountain, great experience, and they come down and there's this commotion, and you got the nine disciples there thinking, I don't know what we're doing wrong. But I would imagine they were praying. So then you kind of wonder, well, is Jesus kind of saying, like, you know, the quality of your prayer wasn't enough to cast out the demon? Or was it the quantity of your prayer? You hadn't prayed enough. But either of those answers kind of seems wrong. It's just like belief, unbelief. It didn't really seem like Jesus wanted to know what's the percentage of your belief versus your unbelief. It's just side by side. And that seems to be what's happening here, and that's what struck me. The disciples were calling on God to cast out this unclean spirit. They were calling in prayer, and they had already been sent out by Jesus to do this, and they had had success, so to speak. They had seen God cast out demons through their work as they called on him in the name of Jesus. But just because that had happened, it didn't completely dislodge their unbelief. It didn't dislodge their thought that they had to do this themselves or that they could do it by their own power. So you could say when Jesus is giving them this answer, their response might have been, Lord, I pray, help my unprayer. Lord, we pray, help our unprayer. And when we put it that way, when you see it as a parallel with the Father's I believe, help my unbelief statement, then the idea of Jesus chastising the disciples for not praying the demon out, it takes on a whole different shape. It's not time for us to figure out how to measure our prayers. That's not the teaching here in Mark. It's not about some magic formula and then it works. Or, you know, say the right prayer incantation and then it works. It's not about any of those things. It's about our prayer, which sits right alongside our unprayer. We turn to God, we pray, we ask Him to do wonderful things in our lives and in the lives of the people around us, but we just as quickly forget this. And we face another challenge, a need, a task, and we try to do it ourselves in a spirit of unprayer. That's what hit me this week. That's what hit me as I was studying this passage. This passage went to work on me first. God, through His scripture, worked on me first, and that's how it ought to work. That God preaches to me before I ever preach to you. And He did this week. It was Monday. I was overwhelmed. I was burdened. I was sad. I was tired. I was stressed out. There was a flurry of ministry happening. I was just plain old physically tired. I was stressed trying to work things out in my head. You ever do that? You're trying to mull something over and over again, trying to figure it out, and you're really just not getting anywhere. You ever been there? And I was approaching all of that as if it was up to me. I'm sure I had prayed at some point, but there on that Monday afternoon, it was really a moment of unprayer. I was grilling dinner, but I had my notes out, trying to figure out what's going on with this passage, kind of doing both things at the same time. And I probably was a bit like the disciples. The disciples who were saying, like, well, why didn't this work? Why couldn't we cast out the spirit? Can you imagine, you know, like when Jesus and the Peter, James, and John get there, and the crowd's all stirred up, and they've brought the boy to the disciples, and the disciples are standing there, and I'm sure they were nervous. I'm sure they were sweating. I know this has worked before. Why isn't it working, right? And the crowd's getting kind of unsettled. Like, they thought something amazing was going to happen, and now nothing. And the father of the boy, he's probably thinking, well, I came to the wrong place. This was a mistake, right? And the disciples, maybe they were asking each other, like, hey, did anybody take notes when Jesus was teaching? Anybody got your notes with you? Maybe we forgot a step. Anybody got your notes? Of course, nobody had their notes, right? And that's probably how I looked at that moment on Monday when I was reading this text and trying to do all of it by myself. That's when Jesus showed up. Not because I prayed for His help in that moment. He showed up coming down off the mountain, so to speak, because He knew I needed Him. He showed up with this passage that I selected a long time ago, showed up because I needed to hear about prayer again. I wasn't planning any of this. I was just pushing through all that flurry of activity, figuring I would and I could do it all myself. And that's when Jesus showed up in my time of unprayer, just like how Jesus returned to find the 9 disciples unpraying their way and stumbling through. And I realized this kind couldn't be cast out without prayer. When Jesus says this, when He says this kind, he's meaning the unclean spirit, right? This kind of unclean spirit can't be cast out except by prayer. But there's plenty of this kinds in our lives, things which are impossible for us to solve on our own. When Jesus showed up preaching the word to me, I realized He was saying to me that all of my stress and anxiety, that kind, this kind of stress and anxiety and all that, cannot be cast out except through prayer. My own strength, my own prowess, my own cleverness, my own hard work could not and did not prevent many things last week. My own hard work and strength didn't prevent a friend from falling off the wagon. Didn't prevent someone from feeling unwelcome in our congregation. Didn't prevent someone from being skeptical about talking to me as a pastor. didn't prevent people skipping out on worship or congregation members getting annoyed with each other. My own hard work and strength didn't prevent our current giving deficit. It didn't prevent a friend from trying to kill himself. And my own hard work and strength and trying to figure this all out while I'm on the deck trying to grill, it didn't prevent me from getting a small burn from the grill either. So it's not about me trying to figure this out and do it all myself. This kind cannot be cast out, cannot be prevented except through prayer. This kind of stress, anxiety, challenge, grief can only be cast out by prayer. Lord, I pray, help my unprayer. Which also caused me to pause and realize how many things are happening that I could not have made happen. It not only did I realize there were things that all of my hard work couldn't prevent, it was going to take God to do it, there was also a lot of things that were happening that I couldn't have made happen. It had to have been God, and maybe there were answers to my prayers or someone else's prayer, but I saw it in a moment of unprayer. I saw that God was at work. As a couple weeks ago, the Disciple Care elders made some phone calls to people reminding them about the change in the worship schedule. Most of the time, they only left voicemails, but each one of them got to talk to one person, and that one person was exactly the person they needed to talk to and connect with. Or a couple weeks ago, our staff on an afternoon was ready and available to welcome a hurting young man who stopped in, need a place to pray and to talk. Or last Sunday, I was walking across the parking lot from my house when someone drove by who spotted me and came to talk because they needed to talk. Or a friend, while I'm working on all this and the grill's still going, a friend calls and says, "Is this a good time to talk?" And actually, I looked around and I thought, well, the grill's fine right now. I'll leave my notes alone for a minute. This is actually a really good time to talk. Look at that. Lord, I pray, help my unprayer. Help lead us, Lord, to depend on you. God loves to answer prayer, who shows up when we need him, and he reminds us that this kind needs his power, his strength. In the end, I don't hear this passage now as a judgment on me. Instead, it's a reminder that we may trust God and we are invited to trust in him. We may pray. We're invited to pray to him. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That doesn't condemn us as much as it is an honest cry for help to the one who can strengthen our faith. Lord, I pray, help my unprayer. That's a cry for help also. Again, not a judgment on our prayer life, but a cry to help to the Lord, who is the one who can lead us into prayer and strengthen our prayers and remind us that we can depend on him. His mercy knows no limits. We set up lots of limits because we tried to do things ourselves. And then he says, but you may come and you may pray. You may know my mercy. You may know my strength. You may know that I am with you. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief this week. Lord, I pray, help my unprayer this week. Amen.